Good morning, Sunderland Church. Hope you're all well. Long time no see. Let's just get the important bit out of the way at the moment. Congratulations on the Sunderland football team doing well. My wife's from Hull, so I'm actually hoping that Hull and Sunderland go up. That way I know you'll all be happy and I'll know the missus will be happy. But no, it is good to see you all, and I do appreciate the kind invitation to share with you this morning. Now, strangely enough, it's Mother's Day, and I'm probably the most unmotherly person there is, but I would like to just draw your attention to a story in Scripture where three ladies are mentioned. One's a mother, one's a sister, the other is called a daughter. And today, we just want to, as a church, thank all the ladies in the church who are involved, whether they're involved in the leadership of the church, and please pray for your leadership at this time, or whether they're involved behind the scenes. We do thank you, ladies. We bless God for you, and thank you for all that you do. Well, the story I'd like to draw your attention to is the story of Moses when he was a baby being put in the bulrushes. Now, in that story, one man is mentioned, that's Moses' father. But other than that, the three important people in this story are all ladies. There's Moses' mother, there's Moses' sister, and then there is Pharaoh's daughter who stepped in and rescued him from the river. So I'd like to this morning, just in the time we have, just look at that story and see if it can help and encourage us. Before we get into the story, we've got to remember that things had changed in Egypt. When Joseph was the Chancellor of the Exchequer or the Prime Minister of Egypt, things for the Hebrews went well. But there's a key verse in chapter 1 in verse 8. It says this: a new king who did not know about Joseph came. So here we have a total change round. Up till this point, the Hebrews had been welcomed and were part of the society. But in verse 9 it says, they have become too numerous for us. And out of that fear of how many Hebrews were in Egypt, came this persecution that brought about the story of Moses. So it's a very challenging story, and because I'm not aware of everyone who's in, will be listening, I will be very circumspect in how I describe what happens, but I think you will understand from what I'm saying. And of course, if you read the story in Acts 2, you'll be brought up to date. Well, the Egyptians were frightened of the Hebrews. There were too many of them. They were frightened that they would form an army or join their enemies against them. And so they did certain things to try and reduce their numbers. First of all, they oppressed them, pardon me, in verse 11 of chapter 1, with forced labour. I suppose they thought, well, if they're too tired to go home, they'll be too tired to have a family, maybe, I don't know. And then it says that in verse 14, they made their lives bitter with hard work. But this didn't slow down the number and the increase of the Hebrews in Egypt. So they had a second tactic. When the hard work didn't work, they went to the second tactic. They told the midwives that every male child that was born, they would have to put aside and only allow the female children to survive. Okay? And that didn't work because God, the midwives wouldn't do that, and they got blessed. And then the last tactic was that the male children, no way around this one I'm afraid, were to be thrown into the river. And that's where we come to with the story of Moses. Now, we've got to remember that if ever you feel sorry for Egypt during the plagues, you've got to remember this story of the infant boys. And then you'll realise just how God's heart was set against Egypt for many reasons, but one of them was the genocide of these boys in Egypt at that time. So there's the background to it. We have a nation where children are, only female children are allowed to survive, and God steps in with a plan. Now later God was going to send a deliverer, and his name would be Moses. But before the man could come and be the deliverer, he had to be born. He had to be trained. He had to be prepared by God for what was going to happen. And this is what is happening now. And it's an exciting story. I'm going to read from verse 1 of chapter 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, then placed the child in it and put it among the reeds on the banks of the Nile. This is the beginning of this lady, and she's the first lady I'd like to applaud at this time. Here was a lady who was not prepared to allow her child to die. She was going to resist the edict of Pharaoh. Now Hebrews chapter 11, 23 says this: by faith Moses' parents hid him. So we've got to acknowledge his father was part of this, although we hear more about his mum. And so she came up with this plan. But it wasn't just a bright idea. Hebrews tells us it was by faith. They actually believed that if they put their child in the basket, that somehow God would step in and look after him. And of course, God did. So if we're going to applaud Moses' mother for anything, it's first of all that she had faith. Now listen, you don't need to have a university degree to have faith. You don't have to be a minister to have faith. Faith is the one thing that's open to everyone in the church, from the youngest to the oldest, to the cleverest, to me, and then of course richest to poorest. It makes no difference. You have an opportunity to believe God and have faith. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. So Moses' mother and father are an example to us of people who put their faith and their trust in God. But of course, it was more than just that. She not only had a faith, but she also had a plan. And the plan was that she would put the boy in a basket, put him at the side of the river. Therefore, if any soldiers were coming round looking for children, then he would be safe. He would be out of sight and protected. So the mother speaks to us of faith. Tells us there that when she saw he was a fine child, Acts 7 says that Moses was no ordinary child. In fact, Acts tells us that he was placed outside. Interesting word, time won't allow us to look at that. But he went down to the river and was put among the reeds. So not only was she a woman of faith, but she was a woman of action. She did something about it. Friends, sometimes we're praying for something to happen in our lives. And maybe God's saying, help me. Just get involved. Move forward. You know, sometimes it really means that faith means taking a step. And maybe as we're thinking of lockdown ending and moving out, back into normal, and to quote the famous quote, what will normal be? Well, who knows? But maybe now we need to be thinking of that. We have faith. We're going to take a step of action. For her, it was trusting God, putting her baby in a basket and leaving him by the river side. So she was not only a woman of faith and not only a woman of action, prepared to do something, but later on she was a woman of sacrifice. Because if I can jump to the end of the story, at the end of the story, the baby is taken from the bulrushes and given to Moses' mother to look after. But after a period of time, she has to take the baby to Pharaoh's daughter to be looked after. It says that when the child grew older, verse 10, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. And she named him, that's Pharaoh's daughter named him, Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. So this woman obviously loved the child, had faith in God, had an action plan to cooperate with God's plan. But what sacrifice to hand over your baby, having fed the baby, having nurtured the baby, having changed the baby's nappies and all that goes with it. She knew that she would have to surrender the baby to Pharaoh's daughter. If the baby was going to live, she would have to make that sacrifice. So there's the first lady I'd like to applaud in this story. Moses' mother. Faith, action, and sacrifice. Now we move on in the story, and we find that Moses wasn't just left in the bulrushes. We're told there that in verse 4, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. Now, maybe the mum had told her to do that, but whatever it is, she was there watching what was happening, and she was key to it. So here we have a mother of faith. Now we have a sister of Moses, Moses' sister. Her name was Miriam. We know that later on in the stories. We know that he had an older brother called Aaron. Aaron survived because he was born before the Pharaoh's edict came in. So he survived it because he was a slightly older child, but Moses fell into that bracket that meant the river. I'll say no more. And so we have Miriam here. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. To me, Miriam speaks of obedience. You know, it's all good having faith. It's good having an action plan. It's good being having to make sacrifices. But you know, obedience to what God says is vital. She was told to stand and watch. She was vital to this, because no sooner had the baby got in the water, a short period later, Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to have a bath or a swim or whatever was going to take place, and her servants discovered Moses in the bulrushes, and Miriam was able to step forward and make a suggestion to her. So very simply, verse 5, Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. Now, did they know this? Was this part of the plan? Had they watched Pharaoh's daughter bathe there before and knew, well, 3 o'clock, she'll be down, put the baby in the water, 2:30, and we'll see what happens? I don't know. But if it wouldn't surprise me, her faith would rise to that. And it says there, shall we go and get one of the Hebrews? Then they went, Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile. And then it says they discovered the baby there. And then Miriam steps forward and says, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Now this seemed like a very incidental question, but it was life or death for Moses. If she'd have said, no, my father says that this baby should die, then Moses would have died then. Be no doubt about it. Soldiers would have gone with Pharaoh's daughter to protect her, and they would have carried out the terrible deed. And Miriam steps forward, having been obedient. She herself exercises faith and says, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to look after the baby for you? And of course, she said, yes, please do that. And they said, the girl went and got the baby's mother. Then Moses was safe, because he wasn't hiding anymore. He was part of the plan of Pharaoh's daughter. And we'll look at Pharaoh's daughter in just a moment. Some of you will think Pharaoh's daughter shouldn't be in this story, but I'll try and justify why I think she's worth a round of applause in just a moment. Okay. And so, in the plan of God, the mum puts the baby in the water, the sister observes what happens, suggests that the mum come and look after the baby, and in a marvellous way, Pharaoh's daughter actually pays Moses' mother to look after him. Now, I'm sure there are lots of mothers listening to this, and I'm sure you've often felt, you know, I wish I was paid to look after my kids. I know my mother would have charged a lot to look after me. But there we have it. So we have two ladies so far: a mother, faith, action, sacrifice. Then we have a sister who was obedient and also exercised faith in making the suggestion about who should look after the baby. Well, time's moving on. You've listened very well, and appreciate seeing, be part of your service. I've got a soft spot for Sunderland, and it's not just your football team, honest. Then we come to, having seen the mother, having seen the sister, I'd like us to look at the daughter. Now, we're told very simply there in the story, Pharaoh's daughter. Now, she was the key to the rest of this. Moses was going to be the deliverer. Moses was going to walk into Pharaoh's court and demand that he lets the people go. We're told, we have Acts, I think it's Acts 7, and we have also in Hebrews, we know very simply that this was part of God's plan. Although she wasn't a Hebrew, and although she wouldn't have had the worship the God Jehovah, somehow God again uses, if I may use this word, an unbeliever to fulfill his purposes. It happened in the book of Daniel with Cyrus and other people. God is not averse to using the ungodly or the to fulfill his will. And so this woman, without knowing it, wasn't aware of it, was in the will of God. I'll just say this to you. Sometimes we can struggle with, oh, am I in the will of God? Listen, if God hasn't told you different, you're in the will of God. Don't live your life always thinking, oh, am I in the will of God? Oh, dear. Just put it aside. You're in the will of God until God clearly tells you different. And you be the best you can be for him where you are. Okay, well, just moving on again. We're told there that she came down to the river. It says in verse 6 that Moses was crying. Now, he's probably hungry. I don't know how long he'd been in the bulrushes, but he'd been there a while. And then it says of the woman, she felt sorry for him. Now, that is the turning point. She had a heart. In spite of the cruelty of Pharaoh, in spite of the cruelty of Egypt, here was someone who had a heart, and it says she felt sorry for him. And I put down here, although her faith was not our faith, she had compassion. Do you know, there's not many stories that we read in scripture where compassion isn't somewhere in it. Compassion, when we think of the cross and of the Lord Jesus Christ giving ourselves for us, again we see compassion. It may be that you're not a Christian and you're listening to this. May I say, we're thrilled that you're part of the service. But please, you know, God has compassion towards you. So much so that he gave his son on the cross to be your saviour. I know that after this service, there is a Zoom room. And you're welcome to come into it. I go into several Zoom rooms. And whether I'm able to join you in your Zoom room will depend, because I'm doing some live preaching on Sunday. This is obviously recorded, and that I may be involved in that during the time scale. But if you're a visitor, go in the Zoom. There'll be people there. I hope they're friendly. I hope they make you feel welcome. And there'll be folk there that can help you maybe answer some questions about what it means to be a Christian. Well, first of all, we find that Pharaoh's daughter showed compassion. I think she was courageous because she knew what her father had said. She was now going to go against her father's wishes. So moving from compassion, she said, this is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. So she was in no doubt that this baby should not be alive. And yet, she allowed the child to become hers, giving the child her protection, giving him an opportunity to be trained in the ways of Egypt that would be essential when God called Moses at the burning bush to turn round and go back to Egypt and lead the people out. So we see in her compassion. I hope you're a compassionate person. Try to show compassion to people. Be forgiving. Be kind. Secondly, I think she was courageous. She did what was right in spite of what her father had said. And then, maybe just putting it in, she was generous. She was prepared to spend her own money for Moses' mum to look after him. She wasn't aware she was paying the mother to do it, but who could be more suited? Who would give him better care than his natural mother? And then almost the key that opens up the future to this story and the deliverance of Israel from Egypt is these words. He, in verse 10, became her son. Now that was in the legal sense. She adopted him. He came into the house. He lived in the palace. He had the education of Egypt, etc., etc. But when it came to what mattered. He was a Hebrew. When it came to doing what was right, he was like his mum and chose God rather than Egypt. Hebrews tells us that he chose to be named with the people of God rather than with Egypt. And that opened up the story in a marvellous way for the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. He became her son. And so this river of death, what the Nile was, became a river of life. Moses was resurrected, as it were, out of that river. Hebrews 11:24 says these words, that he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be known. So although he had the benefits, at the end of the day, he knew where his heart lay. And that was with the people of God and the God of his people. No matter what luxuries Egypt afforded him, he knew who to serve. And may I just say that in closing, I trust that you will, as ladies, whether you're a mum or you're a sister or you're a daughter, I'm sure it's all inclusive somewhere. Let's have faith, let's have courage, let's have compassion, let's have all the ingredients that these three ladies had and serve the Lord with all our hearts. Well, those months, early months that Moses had with his mum had such an influence that when it mattered, he stood for God. I do pray that you will do the same. So lovely to see you all again in Sunderland. I hope I haven't spoken for too long. Have a great Sunday. Have a great Zoom room. God bless you.